Good. All righty. Shut this door. Next week, we have exam, first exam. Who got their book with them? Let me see your book real quick. I don't know what chapter it is. Hold on, let me see. The exam is going to be on chapters 3.
You know what?
And 4. Be the soul and then emotions. Chapter 3 and 4, of course, is open book. You know how we do it. We second year graduating students, so we know how this rolls. All right. So it'll be next week. It'll be our first exam. The exams will open up, I think, Monday evening, and they'll be open for a whole week. And so, of course, mine is not timed. You can actually print the exam, take it with you while you're reading, get the answers, fill it in, and come back and submit them on the classroom portal. So we'll do that next week. It'll be chapters 3 and 4. All right. Last week we were together, we started finishing with the body. Tonight, we're going to start with the soul, which is going to be the bulk of our class for the rest of the year. We're going to deal with the soul. The soul is a very complex tool that God has given us. And we're going to stay in the same framework with, you know, our spirit being king, our soul being the servant, and our body being the slave. We're going to spend a lot of time this over the next few months, really the rest of the year, going over the soul. The soul is very important. Why is it important? It's because it's what controls the slave. Now remember, our body is the only thing that can house the presence of God. It can house the anointing of God. Our body gives us legal right to be here in the earth realm. If you don't have a body, you can't be here. All right, so now that we understand the importance of the body, we have to understand how the mind functions with the body. All right, and we're gonna learn a lot. We're gonna learn a lot over these next few months about the soul, because the soul is a much more God. Let me put it to you like this: when God created man, He created a complex. Entity, if you allow me to say it that way. You, within yourself, is a whole world by itself, let alone the other people you got to deal with. All right? So it's important that we have a chance to deal with us. And if we can control our souls, then you're not going to have any problems with your body. If you control your soul, you're not going to have any problems with your body. Most sin issues is a soul issue. Because watch this. Every sin, you never forget this. Every sin, everyone begins with a thought. Every sin begins with a thought. So if a person got a sin problem or they got a habit, it started off as a thought that was unchecked. See, even though we are complex beings, but it's not difficult to handle if we understand how we work. If we understand how we work and we understand how we function and we understand how God created us, then it's very easy for us to manipulate ourselves to do what God needs. Know what I said? I said it right. Manipulate. Other words, knowing what button to press, knowing what to handle, what environments we need to be in, what environments we don't need to be in, so that we can be able to easily handle the slave. Why? Because the servant is doing what it's supposed to do, which is following the instructions of the king. Is this clear? So here we go. The soul is the only part of your entity that is not born again. It is not born again. Your soul is not born again. It has to be continually renewed. All right? I said a statement in the last class. We were talking, we in the Alliance of Honorable Men. And we were talking about killing self. And we define what self was. Self is not flesh. Self is not the old man that before you got born again. Self is another whole beast that you got to tame. And that self is your mind. So the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So here's, I am crucified with Christ. So that means that, number one, my flesh has to die. But then it also saying that my way of living has to die because Christ now lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that means that my mind has to constantly be renewed. I have to constantly keep killing my own agenda. I have to constantly keep killing my ways of doing things. I have to keep it crucified. It's not going to stay crucified on its own. I have to keep crucifying it. Are you seeing this? How do I keep crucifying it? I keep crucifying myself by renewing my mind. This is why it's important that you cannot go a day without spending time with God. You can't go a day without being in his presence. You can't go a day without letting some of his word wash over you. Because at that moment, if you don't, every day you let pass by, listen, yourself is like a zombie. Self is a zombie. Your mind is a zombie. As soon as you kill it to its own ideas, as many days you go without renewing your mind, you're giving life to self. Because remember now, every sin begins with a thought. Every sin. So if I am not washing my thoughts, I say it like this, you know, Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
What?
How you renew your mind? With the word of God. It's like a washing machine. You have to allow the word of God to be a washing machine for your thoughts. And that washing machine, you have the center part. It's called an agitator. It agitates the clothes with the detergent to shake off the dirt. That's what has to happen. That's what the word of God does to your thoughts. It agitates them. It agitates them with purity so that Isaiah 1:18, turn there. Because we like 1:19. We love 1:19. Isaiah 1, we love it. We love Isaiah 1:19. But we don't read verse 18. Because 1:19 makes us seem spiritual. Isaiah 1:19. It makes us seem spiritual. We go to the 19th verse, it seems so spiritual. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So it seems so spiritual. But when you go to verse 18, you realize that that you first got to get that mind right. Because he said, verse 18, come now and let us what? Reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins, or another word in that place for sins is though your actions. The actions that you were going to take, though they be as scarlet. Other words, it wasn't going to be the right decision. They're going to be stained. It ain't going to be the right thing. They shall be white as snow. So if my actions or my sins were going to be scarlet, but then if I reason with God, they become white as snow, that means something happened in my thought process. Are you seeing this? So The soul is the starting point for sin. But the soul is also the starting point for getting into the spirit. Now, how many of y'all ever thought that your soul got something to do with you being in the supernatural? You never put the two together. Why we never put the two together? Because we've never studied the soul the way it should be studied. Do you know every time God talks about your heart, He's talking about your spirit and your soul? He's talking about your spirit and your soul. Every time God talks about the heart, He talks about your spirit and your soul. He's not just talking about your spirit. Every time God, anytime the heart is mentioned in the Bible, it's talking about your spirit and your soul. Hebrews, the 4th chapter. We read this before, but it's good to read it. It'd be good to read it now. Hebrews 4, verse 12. This scripture tells us the only thing that can separate the soul from the spirit. If you don't have this, you can't separate the two. You don't know how. Your mind and your spirit are so closely related. They work so closely together that sometimes if you don't have the word of God, you think you're in the spirit, but you're in your soul. You see this? Watch this. Verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, of your soul and spirit. That's what the word of God does. So this is why we have to renew our minds with the word of God, because the word of God is the only thing that is, I don't want to use the word truth. It's the most stable, that's what I'm looking for. The most stable, unwavering point of reference that you can judge your thoughts to. Everything else is shaky. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand forever. So his word is the only thing that is unwavering, unchanging, uncompromising. Are you seeing this? So when you compare your thoughts to the word of God, you let the word of God agitate those thoughts. By the time you finish, your thoughts are going to be proper, which means your actions are going to be proper, which means now your spirit, your soul, and your body can enter into the supernatural. Is this making sense? So over the next few weeks, few months, we're going to be breaking the soul down. Now, it's very important. The author does an excellent job in doing this. And so you're going to learn some stuff about yourself. You're going to laugh at yourself because you're going to see yourself in this book. You're going to see somewhere where you've been tripping up. You're going to be like, I missed that. Why I ain't catch that? You ain't catch it because we've never been taught about the soul. It's always been spirit, 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 spirit. But we've never been taught. I mean, just last week, if I didn't have one person, I had about four or five people walking to me and said, send me emails over the internet. The guy started me today talking about the body. I didn't realize that about my body. I never saw my body as something that houses the supernatural. All I looked at my body was the enemy. I got to keep it tame. I got to keep it in its place. Well, that's not the case. Your body, watch this. Paul said, I bring my body under subjection.
under subjection under what? My spirit. Why? So it can be used properly. Not just something that just exists, so I'm going to sit it on the side and try to make it the best way I can. If you sit your body on the side, then you ain't got no right to be. You got me? So same thing with the soul. It's been spirit.
There have been some very anointed men and women of God that have walked the face of this earth. I mean, genuinely anointed. But because their soul was not properly aligned, because watch this, your spirit has got to pass through your soul. Your spirit has got to pass through your soul, and your soul has to pass through your body for anything in the natural happens. That's how we work. So if I got, because see, watch this. Satan cannot access your spirit. God is the only one that can access your spirit. Satan can't access, listen to me, that Satan cannot access your spirit. But Satan can access your soul. He can access your mind. So if God is accessing your spirit, then your spirit trying to give your soul instructions, and Satan, and you allowing Satan to access your soul, then I don't care how pure the instructions come, they're going to be tainted when they come out. So this is why I don't care how anointed a person is, I want to know about their character. Because attached to, watch this now, attached to pure words can be crazy character traits. So that's why you have people that are so anointed make these crazy mistakes. Because their soul ain't kept in check. Look at David. David, the Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. But because David didn't keep his mind in check and wasn't where he's supposed to be, listen to me, internet, wasn't where he's supposed to be, now Satan had a chance to attack him at his weakness. So all that David had done, anointed as David was, he still was making this stupid mistake. Are you seeing this? So, I don't care how anointed a person is, I still don't know about their character. Because they can be delivering anointed words, and attached to them anointed words is crazy character traits. I don't care how deep you go into a well. I don't care how deep you go into the well. If the bucket is dirty, the water is going to be dirty. Your mind is escorted by the Holy Spirit into the supernatural. If your mind is not renewed, you get a pure word from God because you carry it in a dirty bucket. It's going to be tainted. Is that making sense? The soul consists of five basic areas. Number one, emotions. Number two, intellect and reasoning. Three, memory. Four, imagination. And five, the will. So we're going to be going over each one of them. Sometimes it's going to take me 2 or 3 weeks to get through one. Sometimes it's going to take me a whole month to get through another. But nevertheless, we're going to get through all five because once you get through all five, you'll know how each one of them work to and relate to each other. All right? The mind is the very place that Satan attacks. Satan is going to attack the mind first. If he can get control of the mind, he got control of the slave. He don't need the spirit. He don't need your spirit. Matter of fact, a lot of people that are oppressed and oppressed by a devil or obsessed with a devil, it's a mind. They control their thoughts. So when he get control of their thoughts, he got control of the slave. He don't even need their spirit. If he can get the mind severed
from the spirit. If Satan get the mind, listen to me, if Satan get the mind to stop getting information from the spirit and get information from him, your spirit can be as powerful as it wants to be. He got the servant and he got the slave. You can't tell me that Adam and Eve wasn't in the most powerful state they can be in. In a place that was perfect. Here comes Satan. Notice he did not go for their spirit. He went for their mind. When he severed the mind from the spirit, he then had control of the slave. And that's the same trick that Satan has been pulling since then. It ain't nothing new. There's nothing new about it. He's doing the same thing over and over again. You have to learn, Luke 21:19, you have to learn to possess the soul. Gain control of the soul. Turn to Luke 21:19. It says, what, in your patience, possess ye your soul. Notice what it's saying, huh? It says, in your patience, possess what? That's what it says? Read it again. Oh, what it says? Uh-oh. Uh-oh, so there's a separation there. In separation, it says possess ye, right? Your soul. Not just possess your soul. Remember now, the word of God is the only thing that can separate your mind from your spirit. So here the word of God is saying, in your patience, possess ye your soul. So ye has got to be, the king is talking about, has got to be talking about your spirit. Possessing your soul, the servant or the tool. And what does it? Patience. So in other words, I have to train myself not to be a rash, not to, thank you, Holy Spirit. This is a better way to put it. Not to be, not to respond to everything. No, I'm sorry. Not to react. That's the word I'm looking for. Not to react, but to respond. Boy, that's a mouthful. Oh, that's a mouthful. Oh, that's a mouthful, because y'all know good and well. Good and well, good and well. Good and well. It's hard, it's hard, it's hard, it's hard. When somebody abusing you, somebody messing over you, you feel you're being done wrong. It's hard. Or when you're in a panic state, it's hard to possess that soul. But here it says, in your patience, possess. Now, mind you, you cannot, listen to me, internet, you cannot do this if you don't have a personal, let me find a better way to say it. Because I don't want you to take the word personal relationship with the Father wrong, because a personal relationship, people think that's just born again. If you don't have a consistent communion with the Father, that's a better way to say it. If you don't have consistent communion with the Father, you're not going to be able to possess your soul. You're not going to be able to do it, because it is the word of God that helps you to possess your soul. It is the word of God that calls you not to panic in panic type situations. It's because you know the Father, and it's because you know who he is, what he's capable of doing. You know this, and so now you know that I'm not going to just react, I'm going to respond. Jesus, in what the devil thought was his weakest moment, Jesus was responding. Matthew's the fourth chapter, when he was led into the wilderness. Jesus was responding. He was not reacting, he was responding. Jesus, watch this. So now, I love what the Holy Spirit did. I love what God did. God put, gave us an example. He put the slave at his weakest moment. The body was weak. He was hungry and he was thirsty. Put the slave at his weakest moment. Then sent Satan to him. Satan started tempting him. And Jesus began to respond to him and not to react. Jesus, in his patience, possessed his soul. You must learn to possess your soul. This is not something that you inherit. This is not something that you just automatically are doing. Something that you have to train yourself to do. You have to, on purpose, train yourself. Sometimes you got to talk out loud to yourself. When somebody get ready, somebody abuse you, Leroy, calm down, walk away. Talk to you, call yourself out. Walk away, walk away, walk away. Now, hold up. Don't say nothing right now. Listen, I don't have time for to be thinking what other people think about me when I talk to myself. I really don't have time for that right now. I don't have time for it. Because the next step you make may be a matter of life and death. It may jeopardize something. So I really don't care. You can't be thinking about that right now. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. Either you're going to talk to yourself or Satan's going to talk to you. One out of two. So you got to, in your patience, possess your soul. Watch this. He also talked about, Matthew the 16th chapter. Turn there. Matthew the 16th chapter, the 26th verse. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, why did Jesus say that? Jesus said that because your mind, your soul, is the battleground for control over your spirit. Either you're going to make your mind submit to your spirit, or you're going to let Satan take over your mind, which is going to smother your spirit. So the mind is the battleground for your human spirit. Either you're going to make your mind submit, or Satan's going to take your mind over with his thoughts and block the spirit out. Because watch this now. Your spirit has no expression in earth realm without your mind. I'm going to say that again. Your spirit has no expression in the natural without your mind. When you learn to totally control your mind, there is no limitation as to how God can use your mind and your spirit and your body. There's no limitation. I mean, we got biblical proof. The Bible didn't say Enoch didn't die. He was translated to the Father. I mean, Jonah made a 3-day trip, a day and a half. See, when you learn to possess your soul, there's no limit as to how God uses your spirit and your body. No limit whatsoever. But why? Because you have got to learn to possess your spirit so that it can be submitted to what God wants. Submit it to your spirit. Submit it so that God can maximize you and what he wants you to do in the earth around. Are y'all getting this? See, the mind, we've so long ignored the mind. Say, oh, the mind gonna be fine. No, the mind ain't gonna be fine. The mind cannot be left unchecked. Every sin. Sin is just simply an action that separates us from God. Every sin starts off as a thought. Every last one. When we possess our souls and surrender them totally to God's work in our spirit, there is no stopping us. Go to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter.
We almost finished. Verse 22, abstain from all appearances of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. And the very God of peace sanctify you what? Holy. And the very God of peace. Now that's the God of peace. Peace means wholeness. Peace don't just mean tranquility. Peace means wholeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything whole, everything in its place. I pray you, God, your whole spirit and your whole soul and your whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful he that calleth you also will do it. So here it is. There is no limit as to what God can do when we learn how to possess our soul. Now notice, nowhere in the Bible can you see where it says God has to possess our soul. You have to. Nowhere in the Bible can you see where God is going to renew your mind. You have to renew your mind. Nowhere in the Bible where you find that God is going to cast down every imagination. You. So this is something that you have to do. Nobody else can't do it for you. You're going to have to be able to control your soul. You're going to have to do it. Nobody else can't do it for you. We can't even expect to come to church on a Sunday morning and expect our minds to be under control. You can be put in a position to do it, but you got to do it. People who have total control over their souls have a power that few have ever attained. If you can get control over your mind and make your mind do what it's supposed to, you make your mind be a tool. If you can do that, you will harness and control power that very few people can attain. Notice now, what are the five areas again? Did y'all write them down? We're going to go. What is it? Emotions, intellect, memory, imagination. Now, think about each one of them individually. I'm going to say each one individually. If you learn to control your emotions, you'll be able to attain power that very few attain. What's the next one? If you be able to control your intellect and your reasoning, you will attain power that very few have ever attained. What's number three? If you can control your memory, you will have attained power that very few can attain. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? What's the fifth one? Four. If you can control your imagination, you will have attained power that very few have attained. I'm doing it on purpose. I'm doing this on purpose. Because in learning about the soul, I want you to see how complex God made us, but how simple it is to control. See, what happened is, they say, how do you, the old adage, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Some people be trying to attack the whole thing. You try to attack the whole soul. You try to get everything straight. Man, listen, you try to get all the souls straight. You got memories you got to deal with. You got imagination you got to deal with. You got the intellect you got to deal with.
You got your will you got to deal with. You got your emotions you got to deal with. So ain't no sense trying to attack all of them at the same time. One by one. And that's what we're going to do in this class. We're going to get them one by one. And you're going to learn some things about yourself. You're going to learn some things that have been blocking you from reaching where God wants you to go. And all it's been is Satan trying to block you from understanding yourself so that you can move further in God. Some of you have some memories that's stopping you from going where God wants you to go. Some of y'all have some emotions that's stopping you. Some of your reasoning and your intellect is in the way. Are you seeing this? Even when Jesus was tempted for 40 days, he could not be physically harmed in any way by the devil. See, I love that statement. Satan can't do you any physical harm. None whatsoever. He can't. He can't. He don't have that authority. None whatsoever. So knowing this, you know the battle, that shrinks the battleground. You know he can't get to your spirit, right? You know he can't do you no physical harm. The Bible says he comes as a roaring lion. He can't do you no physical harm. So now the battlefield is now shrunk to a containable battlefield, which is the mind. So now anytime, and then here's the thing. I said this last class, and it's a good statement to say here. I don't mind Satan talking to me. He said, ooh, wait a minute, wait a minute. I don't want Satan talking to me. I really don't mind Satan talking to me. The reason why I don't mind Satan talking to me is because he's a natural born liar. So everything he says is a what? So that means if he got the audacity to say it, whatever he tells me, I can be assured, I can guarantee that the opposite is going to happen. He's a liar. And so here's where the battleground is. When Satan talks to you, if you don't have your emotions in check, if you don't have your intellect, your reasoning in check, if you don't have your memory in check, if you don't have, what's the other two? If you don't have your will and your imagination in check, then he's going to playing and dancing on them things. And now, what was a lie, thank you, Holy Spirit. How come bad things happen? Satan has no power. Satan is a liar and he is a counterfeiter. He is an abuser. So what Satan does is, Satan comes in with a thought into your powerful mind, gets you to buy into it, and then turn around and think it's him doing it. That's how he works. He has no power. He's defeated. When Jesus died on the cross, he irrevocably, undeniably defeated the devil. Is unchangeable, is undeniable. He can't do nothing about that. So what Satan has to do now, he has to borrow power. And whose power is he borrowing? Ours. So if you don't have, and so what he does, he comes every day checking you for one of them areas. Where I'm going to find the loophole at? That's his game. Where I'm going to find the loophole at? Am I going to find it in your emotions? Am I going to find it in your memory? Am I going to find it in your intellect? Am I going to find it in your will? Am I going to find it in your imagination? Where am I going to find the loophole at? So he comes in every day looking for that loophole. And so what you have to do is you have to let him be a fool. When he comes with some information, see, without the word of God, you don't know if what he's telling you the truth or a lie. You don't know. You don't know. Without the word of God, you don't know. So when you have the Word of God, you renew your mind with the Word of God. When He comes, you can simply see Him as a liar, which has given you secret information. How He gave you secret information? Because whatever He said, you take the opposite, and that's what's going to happen. Because He can't tell the truth. He's a liar. Are y'all seeing this? Jesus trained His soul the same way we can train ours, through aligning each part of our souls completely with the Word of God. So we're going to learn how to, and I'm closing here, we're going to learn how to align our emotions with the Word of God. We're going to learn how to align our intellect and our reasoning with the Word of God. We're going to learn how to align our imagination. We're going to learn how to align our memories with the Word of God. And we're going to learn how to align our will with the Word of God. When you do that, you close all the loopholes for Satan to come and try to attack you. Listen, Satan, I can't even stress it enough, is powerless. He is powerless. He is powerless. I can't stress, He is powerless. So what we have to, when you possess your soul, what you're doing is you're stopping him from usurping your power. All he did was told a lie to Adam and Eve. And instead of them going to the truth, the Word of God, which at the time was God Himself, instead of going to get the information from, watch this. It was not Adam and Eve, God, it wasn't that God didn't want them to know evil. It wasn't that God didn't want them to know evil. He wanted them to know evil in its proper perspective. You want to prove to you how I know that? Because when he told Adam and Eve, first of all, you got to see Eden. Eden, we talked about this last year. Eden was a space. It wasn't the whole earth. So when God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, it wasn't just talking about replenishing the earth with children. He was talking about, I'm going to need y'all to listen to me. Hear what I'm saying, because I'm going to loose y'all into outer darkness, and I want y'all to duplicate what I got here. So if Adam and Eve would have took their time with God and kept spending time with God, they would have been exposed to evil in a controlled, dominating environment to know that evil cannot overtake them, but they got control over evil. So when they were loosed in the outer darkness, they went out with no fear. They went out with all the surety that wherever we see darkness, just like our Father said, let there be light, we now can speak, let there be light. So since Jesus has died on the cross, the same principle stands. We have to begin to allow our source of information to come from God our Father. So now we can't just be dealing with regular information. We have to begin to deal with revelation. When you begin to deal with revelation, now you position yourself to be God's representative in the earth realm and to do exactly like he wants. And Satan knows that. So what Satan does, Satan attacks the mind so he can shut down your spirit. Is this making sense? So we're going to learn how to align. I'm going to say it again because this is important. We're going to learn how to align our emotions with the Word of God, align our memories, align our intellect, align our imagination, and align our will with the Word of God. All right, so as we keep going, I really want you, and look, if you don't read, well, you're going to have to read, but you need to read, because a lot of times we come in, we're going to start dealing with these things, and God will begin to speak to us and give us insight and revelation. And so if you haven't read anything, you're going to be lost. Because this, even though the soul is complex, we are complex, how to handle the soul is not complex. It's very easy to handle this complex tool we have. But if you ain't reading, I need you to read. I need you to read about the emotions before we come. We have our exams next week, but the following week, we begin to talk about the emotions. I need you to read that chapter. I need you to understand that chapter. I need you to see what the author is saying. So that we come in and begin to talk about this, we have our class lectures on this, we'll be able to delve into some stuff, and then you'll be able to begin to self-check. Where have I let my emotions get me? I remember how I let my emotions got me to where I didn't do what God asked me to do. I got so upset, or I was so fearful, or this, whatever it may be. And you're going to see how to check those things. Y'all have a wonderful night. On the inside of